This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. And we are doing a follow-up of sorts because there has been a lot of focus recently on discrimination between landlords and tenants, especially when it comes to renting property.
Yeah, and if you see time and time again on rental websites, certain landlords will tick those boxes saying they prefer tenants of the same race or religion. And even the signs hung up outside your house when it goes up for rent will sometimes say things like Chinese only or Malay only. And, you know, they're all over the place.
Yeah, I see those all the time. And every time I pass one, I just feel a sense of discomfort. And a couple of days ago, actually, Sharidzan Johan, who's a lawyer, explained one reason why this continues to happen. He was actually speaking on an online forum, Racial Discrimination in Rental Properties. And he said the federal constitution only addresses cases of racial discrimination between the government and individuals. So it's worth thinking about that vertically, right? So it's top down, but not between individuals dealing with one another on private matters or horizontally where we're all on the same level.
Yeah, so essentially, legally speaking, this means that landlords or even employers who racially discriminate aren't doing anything unlawful. Previously, the National Unity Consultative Council had proposed laws to change this by forming a tribunal who could address these issues, but the former Barisan National Government had shelved the idea a few years ago.
So I think that similar to what we've discussed recently when it comes to citizenship rights, this is one of those things that appears to only be affecting a small group of people, but in fact affects us all. Because I think if you see, we've only been talking about rental, right? We've only been talking about it from that point of view. But the truth is that it goes very far beyond that. Because if there is nothing that is going to prevent people from being discriminatory in settings such as hiring in the workplace,
exactly,
in all these various spots. It's just, I don't know, it feels dangerous.
That's the thing, that these things have actual consequences, right? It's probably denied some people, you know, the chance to make a livelihood or perhaps force them to look for places elsewhere to rent that might be more expensive and even more so, you know, at a time like this when everyone's tightening their wallets.
And I think that point about it being, or the Constitution only accounting for it between government and citizen, as opposed to between citizen and citizen, is an interesting one, because I'm also curious to know if there are laws that apply to all these sectors that we're talking about, right? Employment, rental, and what those might be. But yeah, that's something that we're going to be touching on after this with our guest, Sharidzan Johan, who you heard quoted in that article we were mentioning or that forum we were talking about. And I'd like to know, though, I mean, have you encountered racial discrimination? I know we've talked about this recently in the rental marketplace, or for that matter, just in everyday life, right? What has that been like? Have you ever tried to escalate it or resolve it? What was that like? Let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's coming up to 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. We are continuing a conversation that we had on our show from a couple of weeks back, which is about rental discrimination, particularly on the basis of race. And we're expanding that to look at what the law says in general about racial discrimination, because it turns out that the Constitution doesn't account for it between citizens.
Yeah.
While we do that, we want to know whether you've encountered discrimination in your daily life. What form has that taken? And when you try to resolve it, or if you try to resolve it, what happened next? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over to Sharidzan Johan, who recently spoke on this during an online forum. Shah, thank you so much for joining us. So can you first walk us through the laws that address racial discrimination in the country and what areas they apply to?
Okay, of course, in any discussion of laws in this country, we must first start with the federal constitution, the highest law of the land, the supreme law of the land. Now, the federal constitution provides for certain fundamental liberties. And one of the fundamental liberty that is provided for under the federal constitution is the guarantee of equality and non-discrimination in Article 8. Article 8, there's several parts. Article 8.1 talks about how all persons are equal before the law and enjoy equal protection of the law. So this protection is provided for all, regardless of whether you are a citizen or a non-citizen. Then Article 8.2 provides that there shall be no discrimination against citizens on ground only of religion, race, descent, place of birth, or gender. Now, 8.2 is only for citizens, so the protection against discrimination in this country is only accorded to citizens. So the federal constitution prohibits discrimination against citizens on the grounds which I've mentioned. Unfortunately, apart from the federal constitution, there is no other specific law that prohibits discrimination. So there's no act of parliament that deals with discrimination in our statute books.
Right. Now, you were quoted in the forum, the racial discrimination in rental properties. You said these laws only apply vertically between citizens and the state, but not horizontally among citizens or with the private sector. Could you tell us when this was decided by the courts?
This was decided by the federal court in a case sometime, I think, in 2005. And the principle has been affirmed again in subsequent cases. The federal court held in that case that constitutional law, as it is a branch of public law, deals with the contravention of individual rights by state branches such as the legislature or the executive or the agencies. And that constitutional law does not extend its reach into infringement of individual legal rights by another individual or an individual corporation. So that is what is meant when we say that it only applies vertically as between citizens and the state and not horizontally as between individuals or private corporations. So if, for example, you have been discriminated by the state, then you can bring an action in court to enforce your rights. However, you cannot do so if you have been discriminated by an individual or a private corporation.
And then what's the rationale for not applying it to cases between citizens as well as in the private sector?
I think the rationale behind that is because you're talking about the federal constitution, you're talking about the relationship between the individual and the state, as well as the various state apparatus and bodies. And it doesn't extend or it doesn't come into situations as between individuals. I don't necessarily agree with the argument. I think the federal constitution should be all-encompassing. It should also regulate the relationship between individuals and private corporations. But the law as it stands is that Article 8.2 only applies vertically and not horizontally.
Have there actually been attempts to bring cases between individuals to court in the past, and what were the outcomes?
Of course, there have been attempts even after the federal court decision, but the federal court decision has been binding. There have also been instances where the state has been taken to court. And one such case, which I can think of, is where a teacher, I think a temporary teacher, was sued the government for discrimination when her contract of employment was terminated when she got pregnant. But of course, this is between the individual and the state. When it comes to as between individuals, there is the case which I've mentioned before is binding, and that is the position of the law as it stands. And this is why we're talking about the need to have a law to specifically deal with discrimination both in the public and the private sector.
Right. And with that then, is it better to have laws that look into racial discrimination in specific areas? For example, the proposed Residential Tenancy Act to address discrimination in the rental market, or laws to prevent discrimination in employment?
I think when you talk about discrimination, there's actually a lot of people who do not see discrimination as a problem for whatever reasons. Perhaps they themselves have not suffered discrimination, or like, for example, in the case of rental properties, they believe that since it is their private property, they have the right to rent their properties to whoever they see fit. So when faced with these objections by quite a large segment of society, it could perhaps be better to deal with specific instances of discrimination. So, for example, if you're talking about a discrimination in the rental market, then perhaps we need to focus on that first. We try and minimize discrimination in the rental market first. Then we can think about the larger issue of discrimination and how we're going to deal with discrimination in other instances. We must also remember one thing. Laws are good, but laws cannot be the solution to all the problems that we face. I think it's far too easy for us to think that whenever we have a problem, we need to enact laws. So I think there must be a more wholesome, there must be a more thorough and all-encompassing approach in dealing with discrimination. You know, things like making people aware about discrimination and why, you know, it's not desirable, and what is the impact it has on society, and so on, as well as enacting laws to deal with discrimination.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the National Unity Consultative Council had earlier proposed for the establishment of a special tribunal to deal with cases of racial discrimination, but it wasn't realized. Why was that the case?
It is not only cases of racial discrimination. The proposed tribunal by the NUCC some years back was to deal with all sorts of discrimination, including discrimination on race, religion, gender. So it's not just specific on racial discrimination. And what happened was, after coming up with the draft and it was published, the proposed tribunal and the framework actually was met with objections from several Malay Muslim groups. They say that the tribunal and the legislative framework contravenes Article 153 of the Federal Constitution, i.e. the special position of the Malays and the natives of Sabah and Sarawak. However, if we look at the NUCC proposals, they actually carved out Article 153 out of the ambit of the proposed tribunal, meaning the tribunal does not have any jurisdiction over matters which fall squarely under Article 153. So the issue of contravening Article 153 or any other provisions in the Federal Constitution do not really arise.
Since then, have there been, you know, follow-ups? Have there been further discussions on this matter?
I believe there were talks about reviving the NUCC proposals under the Pakatan Harapan government. And I believe it is because some of the members of NUCC were at that time also ministers in the federal government. So they wanted to have another look at the NUCC proposals and to revive it. I am not quite sure as to how far they were looking into it, but there were talks about it. And the issue with discrimination has, you know, always cropped up. You know, after a few months, you'll see complaints about how certain people are being discriminated when they want to find work, or when they want to find a property to rent, and so on and so forth. So it's a perennial problem, and we need to start looking into it seriously. Under this government, I have not yet seen any, I suppose, political will to address the issue. But I do hope that, you know, they will be looking into it soon.
And Shah, before you go, could you share some examples of how other countries are dealing with racial discrimination in their laws?
I'll just give two examples. One in the UK. UK has anti-discrimination laws. For example, under the Equality Act, which prohibits discrimination in employment based on protected characteristics such as age, sex, religion, ethnicity, and so on. So it is actually unlawful for you to discriminate on these grounds. In South Africa, there is the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act, I think in 2000, and it establishes equality courts to hear complaints of unfair discrimination. And actually, the NUCC proposals have borrowed quite heavily from the South African Act. So we are not, when if you are thinking of enacting laws, we are not actually enacting such laws or draft bills from scratch. There's been examples from other countries which we can look at, and we can really craft a law that is able to deal with the issue, but still take into account the local context of Malaysia.
Shah, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was civil liberties lawyer Sharizan Johan. If you would like to share any thoughts on racial discrimination in the country and what you've experienced and how you've tried to address it in your own life, let us know and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.